We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Everything in our state, everything in our communities, everything in our home starts with safety. And the sheriff is the belly button. He is the leader in the community and somebody that we need to know completely so we can provide him what he needs to protect our most valuable and precious commodity, and that's our people.
All right, so before we get into any of the important stuff, I need to find out from Sheriff Chip Simmons, do you feel like you are the belly button of the community?
I don't think I've ever heard the belly button. And I know on Stripes, Sergeant Hoka was the big toe.
Yeah, there you go.
And our but, big toe. Yeah.
But I don't, the belly button? Is that what he really said?
That's what he said, yeah.
Okay.
Somebody told me it was a military thing. That
it must be.
The person you can poke in the belly button and say, I need answers on this, you know, like that kind of an idea. I don't know. The person who's responsible ultimately.
Okay. No,
I certainly, if
that's their tradition, I think I'll let them go with the.
So, obviously, that's not the important stuff of the day, but I thought it was funny. Made me laugh.
So, the Army has the belly button and the Navy has the navel? Is
that
kind of where we're at? No?
Oh,
where's my symbol?
Wait. No. You 100% have earned this now, sir.
Boo.
That is a two boo from Jonathan Green. Well done, though. It was good. It was clever. I like it. You know me. I laugh. It's funny. All right. Jay Collins was here, and he was talking about corrections. He's talking about funding for COs, funding for infrastructure, funding for security inside the jail, all of that stuff. I'm a big advocate. For years, our state prison system has been underfunded. This has led to dilapidated facilities, even some abandoned facilities, underpaid COs. I mean, all of that. So they're remedying that. You, of course, know a lot about this. Your experience as sheriff, you ran the jail as the deputy county administrator for a while after you were the PPD chief. So you've got that same kind of, you know, experience of the other side, experience of, you know, the results of law enforcement, which I think is a very telling thing. It's a great thing, but I didn't know if you had thoughts about this funding issue or raising pay and, you know, building facilities or remedying them.
I'm always going to be in support of raising pay and treating your first responders correctly and fairly. But every time I hear about them, I go, what are you doing for the local jail? What are you doing for the municipal jail? I'm wondering what this is going to bring the state corrections to, and what the county corrections officers are to. And I know that the fiscally constrained counties throughout the state of Florida, they get a stipend from the state to compete with the highway patrols and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. I don't know the answer to this. So my question, though, is do they do the same thing for local? Here's my question. And I know many of the people here in Escambia County Jail, right, in a local jail.
Yeah.
And I just hope they're being addressed as well. I mean, that's great. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, and doing a good job, and I applaud it. And I'm glad, because I also know a lot of state corrections officers.
Yeah.
And it's not just corrections officers. It's probation, parole, as I understand it, as
right.
well. And the state does a really good job of, I think, the Florida Highway Patrol has gotten raise after raise to 20% and 20%. Mm-hmm. It makes it difficult for local law enforcement to recruit. And my fear is it's doing the same thing on the correction side.
I was going to ask you that exact thing, because on the one hand, you and I are completely in alignment. You know, the jail is a part of the corrections, the law enforcement process. We need to celebrate them. I think sometimes we have a gap in our cognition that we celebrate, you know, cops and sheriff's deputies, and we don't celebrate the COs, which they absolutely should be the same way. We need to put the money into it. That's not a sexy political thing. That's just it needs to be done. It has to be done. But I had the same exact thought when you were talking through it, is if we're giving them, you know, a $6 an hour raise on start, you know, from $22 to $28 an hour, what does that mean for the employees at the Escambia County Jail and the Santa Rosa County Jail and, you know, all your county jails? Just like if you suddenly bump the pay for FHP or FDLE, that means that some of your deputies are going to be like, hey, what about us? Or PPD is going to be, hey, but what about us? And this kind of escalating price war for law enforcement labor is not good for anybody if the taxpayers are continually having to fork out more and more money for it. I'm not against any of the pay raises because I want to see you guys get your due. But, you know, they're now playing one against the other. And, you know, that's not good. It's like churches getting their growth from some other church down the road.
I can tell you that when we worked on our 3-year deal with the Board of County Commissioners, my chief of staff, Whitney Lucas, and I went to them and said, this is why we need more money, because FHP is set to get this much money. PPD is set to get this much money. We are the we hire more than any of those, both of those combined. And if we can't match that or exceed that, then we're going to be, you know, the citizens of Escambia County are going to ultimately suffer from that. And to their credit, they did a really good job of saying, okay, we agree with you. We want a safe community. We want to make sure that we treat our first responders correctly.
Yeah.
I guess my point is, when I heard that, I always, yeah, but what are you doing for our people? What are you doing for our county people?
Right.
And they may be working on something. I'm speaking probably out of turn, but I think to bring attention to something and that's on top of your mind, to use your words before we got on here, I think it's always important. Again, as a former corrections officer, as a chief corrections officer, we need people that can watch these people,
yeah,
and take care of these people and make sure that they stay in that building. And so I think that's important. And I'm sure smart people are working on this.
Well, and you know, it's a lot of money they're putting into the pay raises and the hiring of new staff. And I just hope, I'm with you, I hope that there's a part two coming where they're putting some kind of, you know, statewide help for the locals, where, I mean, they're literally going to be causing this problem as they're trying to take away property taxes.
It's
and all
already
the other, you know,
a problem,
right.
In my mind. It's they're
just
gonna
by
make
announcing
it worse.
It. Right.
I'm not saying the state corrections officers shouldn't get money. They certainly should get the funding. But again, I think that they couldn't there be some coordination? Hey, you're giving your people, and I'll be honest, when I was a police chief, we would talk a lot with other cities and the counties and the sheriff's office. What are you going to get? What are you going to get? And we would be honest with each other, because we knew that if one entity got a 20% pay raise, it was going to really devastate the rest of us.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, a lot of times we talk a little bit. And
this is a 30% pay raise. I mean, not quite.
One.
It's close to 30%. It's 22 to 20, 28, $6 on 22 is almost 30%. That's a huge, for starting, that's a huge.
I guess I just don't know how the local communities, the local board of county commissioners can hang with that.
No, it's a great question. I had not been thinking about it until you said it, so I appreciate you bringing it up. I didn't mean to dwell on this so much, but I have a follow-up thought for you, Sheriff, as we're talking about this, the pay raise. If you raise the pay, the theory is you're going to get more people come in, but typically it's going to come in at the expense of there would otherwise go to, like, the county jail, for example. You're going to get COs leave one ship to go work at the other ship is kind of, you know. If you're not trying to just broaden the pool, then you're not solving the problem, because we have a aggregate need for so many corrections officers across every level of jail, state, federal, and local. And if all you're doing is incentivizing them to go from one to the other, that's not solving the problem of there not being enough in total to handle the prison population, right?
Right. And I think there's two parts here. One is it's not all about money.
Right.
It is about work environment. It's about professionalism. It's about a standard that you set. It's about having an attractive location where people want to work. We've worked very hard over the last couple of years on making the Escambia County Sheriff's Office the premier, and I can say it because I'm competitive, the premier agency in the region.
Right.
In fact, we just got back last week. We went to Washington, D.C. because they asked us to present on some of the programs that we have here in Escambia County. I think those are very important things. And so it is money. It's about money to a degree, but you have to retain them. You have to keep them. You have to broaden your pool. And really, we're not recruiting in New Hampshire or California. We're recruiting right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. And our thoughts are, is if you want to be a part of this team and you see what we do, you see what we look like, you see how we train, you see what our the opportunities are, then come to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And it's done very well with the Sheriff's Office. I'm not.
You're flush. You have more candidates than you need.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily complaining on my behalf. I'm complaining on our fellow law enforcement officers. The corrections officers, and it's not really a complaint. It's more of an observation and a question, you know.
And I would
consider them as well.
And I would say that, and you guys show this here, is if you think that money is the solution to all these things, it never will be, and that shows the problem, because the real problem is culture, professionalism, values, treatment of employees, which there a slice of that is money, but money's never the big issue for that stuff. And if you can fix the other stuff, then you solve the problem. So I totally.
And since you got me on a roll here, I'm leaving here and I'm going to go talk to our new hire class. We have our own academy, which also is another thing. And my first thing is to say thank you for choosing to be at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And then I will to show them, this is the picture that I'm going to paint to you. This is your career. You can be here, narcotics, on the boat team, SWAT team. You do all these things. And, oh, you can retire here. and we're a family here, and you live here, and you work here. Your families can be raised here. It's getting safer and safer by the day, and man, you're lucky to be a part of our team.
I love that. That's good. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. We've had
you're done with my recruiting spiel.
Oh no, I mean, because it's not just about sheriffing. It's right. All kinds of other things as well, and that's why I thought it was valuable to keep talking about it. We've had a couple of incidents, and of course, we had an absolutely atrocious incident. I don't want to talk about just yet. Before, just quickly, Chief Winstrom, you've had a chance to talk with him, have you had a chance to talk with him?
Yes.
And obviously, I wasn't going to ask you what your thoughts were beforehand. I mean, it's just not appropriate. If you wanted to say something, you could say it. And so now that he's been selected, all on board, seems like a great candidate. What your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, anytime you meet someone that has similar experiences, quite frankly, he was a police chief, and I was a police chief, and he's worked with sheriff's office. They work in collaboration with their sheriff's office. I just want to make sure that we're similar, you know, and I want to make sure that he understood that we're there, and we work very well together. We work on operations together. We have a couple of their employees embedded in our real-time crime center. I don't anticipate any of that changing. We had a good conversation, but you can't have just one conversation. You're going to have a couple of conversations. You're going to have months worth of that collaborative spirit and conversations and run things by each other. But we've done that. I've done that with every police chief. I mean, heck, I hired another one.
Yeah, I know you sure did. Tommy works for you now, right?
With me, right?
Let's turn to. I guess we're kind of running short on time, and I really wish we didn't have to talk about this story with this child. Right. I was talking to Deanna Oleski yesterday, the medical examiner, and she's like, "Yeah, it's as bad as you think. It's traumatic just to experience this. Our investigators having to deal with this. What do we know at this point?"
Well, she's been charged with aggravated manslaughter. Manslaughter is a death, not necessarily with intent. It can be voluntary, involuntary. You can do a heat of passion, or it can be an involuntary act. What we know is that the night before, her family called us and said, "Hey, we haven't seen our sister in a while. We're worried." So we get there and start taking a report, just a missing person. There was no concern about anyone else. And come to find out, she had got her car fixed, and that the mechanic had talked to her, so that relieved their concern. Someone has talked to her. Someone has seen her. Someone that they trusted.
She's alive, they knew, essentially, the mother, yes.
The very next morning, the sister gets some disturbing information, text, communication from her, and which led her to believe that the 5-year-old might be in danger. They contact us, obviously. Now, I'm in a situation where do I do a press conference? Do I just do a post? Do I let people know? And while we're working on that, unfortunately, to your point, someone found a plastic trash bag containing the body of the 5-year-old in it. Now we know what we have, obviously. We have a homicide. And so, yes, I did. I went on there. We didn't set up a time. I wanted the information out because I think it's important for people to know what we're working. So we end up putting her out. We end up catching her, charging her with the death. And we are still working, just so everyone knows. We're still working. You can't, first of all, you can't morally, and you can't criminally either, just dispose of a body in a trash bag on the side of the road. That gets me.
Yeah.
Just hearing about what someone has done to a child before, right?
Even if the child passed away from explainable causes.
Right. That's no way to me, that's no way to respect the life of a child. And that's why even on my comment, I said, you know what, someone needs to pause for a second and think about this child. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a preacher, but I'm a man of God, and I think that someone needs to show some respect for that 5-year-old, the respect that I felt like wasn't shown in the way it was handled.
So at this point, you're waiting on the medical examiner's report to know cause of death so that you can decide what to do with the mother. And has she cooperated, said anything? Do you know anything beyond? I mean, I know you will tell us everything you can tell us, but...
No, there's no cooperation. Okay. We are waiting, and we work very well with the medical examiner's office. Mm-hmm. They got right on it to their credit. And again, we all show up at the scene, and we all have our own parts to play in it. And there will be some information we'll get from the medical examiner's office. We did have enough. Our investigators worked throughout the night. Mm-hmm. I mean, for hours on end, and working with the state attorney's office and making sure that we had this, all of our T's are crossed, I's are dotted. and we were able to bring the charges of aggravated manslaughter, and that put her in jail. And then we're going to continue to look, again, to look at the discarding of the body, and there may be some other charges that took place beforehand. It's just terribly tragic, and again, I have to say thank you to our deputies and our detectives who are doing such a great job.
Was it one of your deputies that found the bag, or was it a citizen?
No, it was whoever's
thinking about this, let alone had to deal with it, it's traumatized. I can't imagine. I really can't.
Well, again, I think that's a good point. People don't really understand. You talked about the medical examiner's office, because obviously they haven't spent a lot of time with the victims.
Yeah.
In this particular case, there was an individual that had walked that area some hours earlier, and then when they walked back, they noticed a bag that had not been there. The bag was over the rail on Lillian, but it did not go into the water. So he saw it, called us. We saw it again. The trauma you're talking about. Who expects to find the body of a child
hanging on the side of the?
It was discarded, and it was on the concrete before it got to the water concrete area. So again, we contact our own crime scene, and obviously work with the state attorney's office, with the medical examiner's office. And to your point, these are images that do not go away when you lay down. These are things that it takes some time, and you have to rationalize these things, and because you can't understand how it happened or why it happened, right? So your mind's not thinking correctly, because no one should treat a child like this.
Right.
And certainly no one should discard the body of a child like that.
I said it again, I hate to have to talk about this stuff. It's atrocious. But I tell you what, it does give me an opportunity to think about, you know, we can be praying for anybody who knew her, the whole community, be praying for the officers, your deputies, for the MEs, for everybody who has to deal with this, because it's and for the person as well.
Well, the extended family was concerned. That they did call us when they first got word that the child might be in danger.
Obviously.
We need to obviously consider what's taking place with the extended family, cousins, and whoever else would have known this child.
Well, Sheriff, I hate to end at that point, but we are completely out of time. Sheriff Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for walking with us through the lighthearted and the horrific things that you guys have to deal with. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.